I'd like to take the liberty, before reading the verse, to spend a few minutes reading about the Swing Festival. Have we done that already? I haven't been here. Did we do it yesterday? It's a very wonderful meditation. It's from the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, I believe. And it's a very wonderful meditation. I tried to simplify the English as much as possible because otherwise it would be hard for our ESL people, including the American, to really understand it. So I hope this is helpful for you. Just try to, and I wish I had some nice music and effects and things like that. But just try to enter this meditation. It's very blissful. And so when you swing the deities, when you remember your swinging of the deities, and when you, is this on? Yeah, it's on. And when you swing tomorrow, you can have this meditation. So Krishna has many festivals in the year. This is just one of many. On another day, Krishna performed the Swing Festival, the Julan Yatra, which was held in a special place in Vrindavan. That place was bordered by a line of desire trees of equal height, with round trunks and branches whose ends intertwined, leaving a bare space in the middle. Besides the birds inhabiting those trees, the presiding deities of the forest had placed in the trees chamaras, silk cloth, long strands of pearls, jewels, fruits, and flowers. A square golden stage stood in the center of the decorated trees. In the middle of the stage was a jeweled kunja. Kunja is like trees all gathered together, with four doors. Four Harichandan trees, I believe that must be sandalwood, stood as pillars in the corners of the kunja. The intertwining of the trees' upper branches formed an overhead canopy. The swing hung on thin golden ropes tied to the branches of the Harichandan trees. This arena appeared in the center. In the four directions radiating from this central arena, each gopi group leader had a personal kunja with a swing. The other arenas resonated with singing of young cooing birds who were embodiments of festivity for the entire world. So now every time you hear the birds singing, you have to remember the swing festival. One swing hung from each pair of trees, and sitting platforms for the gopis encircled the bases of these trees. In the center arena, four lines of swings belonging to different group leaders faced the four doors of the main kunja. It's not easy to completely visualize how this looks, but it's totally ecstatic, at least we know that much. Herds of deers frolicked about joyfully in the flat open land surrounding the kunjas. The hearts of everyone immediately flooded with joy just by seeing these areas, which were illuminated by Chintamani gems and by trees as brilliant as coral. The top branches of the trees joined to form a natural, pleasing green canopy. Gazing upwards forever, one could not find the tops of all those trees. So there was a very sacred and closed space, but it was unlimited. The swing arena carried the celestial scent of perfume and piles of camphor dust. Impatient and anxious to begin the swing festival, the demigods and their wives played their instruments as they arrived in Vrindavan in their innumerable celestial airplanes. In a jubilant mood, the gentle goddesses from different forests, carrying various festival ingredients in their hands, assembled in Vrindavan. With friendship, kindness, and all good qualities, they finished decorating the swing arena and built an impressive entrance with the best garlands. That's our Krishangi Devi and her assistants. From all directions, flocks of joyful birds came fluttering to broadcast the sweetness of the swing festival. They perched peacefully on the twigs and branches of the trees around the arena. Eager to see the wonderful swing festival, the birds sang the glories of Krishna while their own hearts swung in delight. Forgetting all troubles and impelled by curiosity, varieties of deer gathered in the kunjas standing as motionless as figures in a painting. Then, the doe-eyed girl suddenly manifested out of nowhere, as if coming directly from the desire trees. These gopis wore fluffy petticoats covered by fine silk dresses extending to their ankles. Glittering bodices beautified their breasts. The gopis had many flower arrows, and they held flower bombs in their hands. Someone may throw the flowers, remember the gopis with the flower bombs. Some gopis had flower pollen sachets hidden in their golden waist belts. Some gopis held flasks filled with fragrant aguru, musk, camphor, and sandalwood ointments. These thin, delicate flasks would break open with a breath. Just imagine how fragrant it was there. Others carried ingeniously designed syringes filled with flower essences, kumkum water, sandal water, and musk water. The gopis looked like well-armed soldiers ready for the battle of love. Anxiously awaiting the arrival of Radhika Shama to start the festival, each of the gopis, the jewels among women who are more beautiful than the soldiers of Cupid, entered the four areas around the main arena. Their loud, excited laughing resembled the sweet cooing of the cuckoos. Krishna entered the swing arena with his left arm holding his flute and resting on Radha's shoulder. In his right hand, Krishna twirled a lotus flower while his bangles chimed happily. A pleasing peacock feather topped his reddish turban that tilted attractively to one side. Krishna's elegant earrings and ear lotuses swung in the breeze. He wore fine cloth, and his limbs were lit by the jewels of his crown and bracelets. Krishna shone attractively with his pearl necklaces tinged red from the rays of his Kaustubha jewel. His light, delicate footsteps accented his graceful yet playful movements. Jeweled ankle bells adorned his lotus feet. As Krishna and his servants ascended the dais surrounding the swing, the birds screeched, "Victory! Victory!" The trees and creepers felt such rapture that their limbs erupted in goosebumps and honey streamed down like a torrent of tears. The peacocks, staring at Radha and Krishna, thought they were seeing dark rain clouds flashing with lightning. Though they knew Radha and Krishna from before, in ecstatic love, the peacocks madly cried out, "Yo! Yo! Who are these two persons?" Who are these two persons? Different celestial denizens joined Krishna and the gopis to celebrate their Julam Leela. The wives of the siddhas beat expertly on drums with their delicate hands. The spotless heavenly damsels showered fragrant flowers from the Nandana Kanana gardens, which glittered like stars as they fell through the sky. In this atmosphere, Krishna mounted the attractive, comfortable seat of the swing. He looked like a regal crest on the seat, which was covered with a cloth covering that was whiter than the foam in the milk ocean. Shining pillows also adorned the beautiful seat. Seeing that amazingly wonderful swing purified the vision and empowered the eyes to see other objects in a fresher way. While the demigods played sweet music, Mukunda and Radha marveled at the jeweled lamps illuminating the swing. Is this okay with everybody? You're enjoying it? Okay. Trembling out of ecstatic love, Radhika and her friends sat beside Krishna, who rested his left arm on Radhika's shoulder. When the Lord displayed his sweet beauty, which defeated rivers of nectarian beauty, the devatas and their wives lost all composure, and they descended to the lower borders of the sky. When lotus-eyed Chandravali and other gopi group leaders beheld the especially intimate feature of Krishna sitting upon the swing, their eyes sparkled with blissful love. The gopis mounted their respective swings and loudly sang sweet songs in the appropriate tempo. Chandravali and her group sat facing Murari, Bhadra and her associates sat on his right, Shama and her followers on the left, and Tanya and her assistants sat behind Murari. Crowding the four outer yards, other joy-filled gopis sang melodious songs with the finest artistic skill. As these gopis softly vibrated their seven-stringed veenas, the gopis produced pleasing ambrosial music of unequaled excellence. On the swings, the gopis, holding on with one hand and swinging their bodies, moved gaily, and with their free hands took fistfuls of colored powder from the bags tucked in their belts and forcefully threw it in the air. The devatas, anguished by the obstruction to seeing Krishna's pastimes, repeatedly showered flowers to remove the recurring screen of colored dust. It's the original holy festival. As the manjaris gracefully pushed the swings, this is our service, as the manjaris gracefully pushed the swings, Vrinda and others shouted, "Jai Ho! Jai Ho!" While blissfully absorbed in swinging, Radha and Krishna hurled colored powders on the gopis. When Chandravali and other sakis returned the volley with their powders, Radha and Krishna revealed a unique state of fresh beauty. As the powders thrown at Krishna blew away in the wind, the gopis filled their reddened hands with sandalwood powder and other fragrances to bomb Krishna again. Radha's friends, who were experts in shooting pitchkaris, either of the syringes, pitchkaris, full of sweet-smelling colored water, assembled around the swing of Radha and Krishna. Suddenly, Chandravali and her sakis attacked Radha and Krishna with pitchkaris full of water, color. With their jewel pitchkaris loaded with scents and glittering like the moon, Radhika's sakis counterattacked Chandravali and her group with a fountain spray of color. Radha's sakis, who were eager to win the battle, shouted, "I'm winning! I'm winning!" In the pandemonium, a few more gopis picked up pitchkaris and wildly squirted other gopis. In the excitement to win, some of the bottles of fragrant liquid fell and broke, releasing thick streams of aguru and sandalwood-scented liquid over the ground. When the flower bombs being forcibly thrown from all directions came too close to the son of the king of Vrindavan, the gopis deflected them. If, however, any bomb happened to hit the dark blue body of Krishna, Radhika happily wiped it off with her soft hands. To increase the pleasure of the doe-eyed gopis who gazed at him with shy, downcast eyes, Krishna abandoned all rules of formal conduct and followed the whims of Cupid. Witty, humorous, and controlled by his consorts, the brother of Balaram challenged the groups of gopis facing him on all sides, eager to play holy with him. Skillful at sport, Hari smashed the gopis in the southern direction with a deluge of colors. Then Krishna subdued the playful, blissful girls on the northern side. Next, he defeated the gopis and their associates in the western direction, who kept swinging the whole time while strongly desiring pastimes of enjoyment. Their eyes and bodies defeated the beauty of lakes full of lotus flowers. Then Krishna conquered the elegant women on the eastern side, who were particularly attractive, being seated on swings directly opposite to him. While swinging and throwing ruby-red powder with his lotus hands, Krishna shared a seat with Radhika, who possesses the limit of all excellent qualities. After winning the battle of Holi, Krishna, smiling brilliantly, desired to please the different groups of swinging gopis. I want to pacify them. Starting in the eastern direction, he faced each group and dexterously moved his swing in two different directions. When Krishna swung east or west, he moved the swing directly towards the gopis in those directions. When he swung to the north or south, those gopis sat next to him. In the joy of such counter-swinging, Krishna's necklaces, forest garland, and shiny earrings all joined in the festival. With this description of Radha and Krishna's swing festival, I, Kavi Kanakpur, the crest jewel of Rasikas, conclude the book entitled Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which parallels the Vrindavan pastimes of the Lord described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. our meditation when we do the Spring Festival. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama.
We could go until 8:45, I believe, because of this festival, the Swing Festival didn't end until 8. Koti Gyani Majji Hoya Eka Jana Mukta.
Koti Gyani Majji Hoya Eka Jana Mukta.
Koti Mukta Majji Durlabh Eka Krishna Bhakta.
Koti Mukta Majji Durlabh Eka Krishna Bhakta. Koti Gyana Majje Hoya Eke Jana Mukta.
Koti Gyana Majje Hoya Eke Jana Mukta.
Koti Mukta Majje Dula Vika Krishna Bhakta.
Koti Mukta Majje Dula Vika Krishna Bhakta.
Ladies,
Koti Gyana Majje Hoya Eke Jana Mukta.
Koti Gyana Majje Hoya Eke Jana Mukta. Koti Mukta Majje Dula Vaika Krishna Bhakta.
Koti Gyani Majje.
Koti Gyani Majje.
Out of many millions of such wise men.
Out of many millions of such wise men.
Hoya.
Hoya.
There is.
There is.
Ekajana.
Ekajana.
One person.
One person.
Mukta.
Mukta.
Actually liberated.
Actually liberated.
Koti Mukta Majje.
Koti Mukta Majje.
Out of many millions of such liberated persons. Durlabha.
Durlabha.
Very rare.
Very rare.
Eka.
Eka.
One.
One.
Krishna Bhakta.
Krishna Bhakta.
Pure devotee of Lord Krishna.
Pure devotee of Lord Krishna.
So here Lord Chaitanya is continuing his instructions. Is it to Rupa Goswami? I think it's Rupa Goswami, yeah? He instructed Sadhu Goswami. So Lord Chaitanya is telling Rupa Goswami, out of many millions of such wise men, one may actually become liberated, mukta, and out of many millions of such liberated persons, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very difficult to find. So he had been describing different classes of men previously, according to their elevation in spiritual development, actually. So please repeat. Out of many millions of such wise men,
out of many millions of such wise men,
one may actually become liberated.
One may actually become liberated.
Mukta.
Mukta.
And out of many millions of such liberated persons,
out of many millions of such liberated persons,
a pure devotee of Lord Krishna,
a pure devotee of Lord Krishna,
is very difficult to find.
Very difficult to find.
Report. I should mind grace. I see Bhakti Rata Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ijad. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, it is said that due to their poor fund of knowledge, the jnanis are not actually liberated. They simply think they are liberated. The perfection of knowledge culminates when one comes to the platform of knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Satyate. You know that verse, eh? She just did a test on that. The absolute truth, Satya Vastu, is described as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Knowledge of impersonal Brahman and the Supersoul is imperfect until one comes to the platform of knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is therefore clearly said in this verse, Koti Mukta Majye Durlabha Eka Krishna Bhakta. Those who search after the knowledge of impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma are certainly accepted as liberated, but due to their imperfect knowledge, they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as Vimukta Manina. Since their knowledge is imperfect, their conception of liberation is imperfect. Perfect knowledge is possible when one knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is supported by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhoktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatramam kshantam nishchati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Research is going on for the karmis, jnanis, and yogis, but until the search is complete, no one can attain peace. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita says, gyatvamam kshantam lichchati. One can attain peace when he knows Krishna. This is described in the next verse. So there was a verse. Om jnana jivanandasya gananjana salakaya chakshuran malitam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Anchakalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhu kevacha patitanang pavanepyo vaishnavepyo bho namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivashadi gaur bhakta vritta hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Kanapana Yaha Hoite Tatpagyana Yaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tatpagyana. O devotees, relish daily the nectar of Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for by so doing you will enter into the full bliss and knowledge of pure devotional service. Something I learned from my ex-husband. Taught me many beautiful things about Shastra. So there was a verse that Prabhupada referred to in the beginning of this purport about the impersonalists. Does anybody know that verse? How they think that they've obtained. It's a very beautiful verse. Lord Brahma said it. If you like to recite it in the Sanskrit and the English? Yeah, yeah. Ye nyera vindaksha vimukta manina Triyashtabhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruya kichchena param padam tatha katanchya da nadida da yusma angraya. This is Lord Brahma. He's saying, he's offering prayers to, if I remember, the demigods are offering prayers to the Lord in the womb of Devaki. And the amazing thing about many of these exalted prayers is they're filled with all kinds of philosophical reasoning and arguments and realization about the universe and all the elements. It's very, very wonderful. So the demigods are saying, someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because... Who remembers? They make an offense. What is that offense? They have no regard for your lotus feet. They think Krishna's lotus feet are not actually, they think they're material. Amazing. But that's it. Of course, that's Krishna's illusory energy. If one isn't educated and one isn't very sincere, then there's no way that one can even imagine that Krishna has lotus feet, that the Absolute Truth has lotus feet. I remember one time I was on my way home from book distribution in the beginning years, and I was, you know, you're a little crazy in the beginning, and you become very blissful. So I remember I was walking down the street, and I was thinking, God has feet. God has lotus feet. got lotus feet dance. I was getting all, it was very exciting. Because it's very difficult to relate to a God who has no form, who has no feeling. Of course, the idea of Om and the light must be very wonderful, to be released from all these illusions of I'm this body and I'm the enjoyer and all the suffering that we've experienced because of that misconception. Sometimes I kind of try to conceptualize this Om and this light, and it's like must be something very special. Maybe Vasamana Prabhu, you can confirm this. I tried to find it in the folio that a devotee once asked Prabhupada, whoever goes to the impersonal Brahman, do they all fall down? And Prabhupada said yes, and the devotee said why? He said, Prabhupada said, because they become lonely. Have you heard that? Has anybody heard that before? Yeah. Because even if you are experiencing an incredible amount of spiritual happiness in the effulgence of the Lord, which is something very special, if you can't actually have a loving exchange with the person who is the source of that effulgence, then you can't, it's not sustainable, to use a popular modern term that describes a positive thing, positive activity or endeavor. If it's not sustainable, if it's meant to be sustainable, some activity is not meant to be sustainable, if something is meant to be sustainable and it's not, then it's again, it has the flavor of material existence. So many times these persons, even Descartes got a glimpse of the effulgence. You know, he was quite a jnani, and he was sitting there meditating and trying to understand the absolute truth. And at a certain point, he started describing this effulgence, and he said he couldn't think of anything more beautiful. He said, of course, the majesty of God in the spiritual world, we can't experience that here, but there's nothing more beautiful in this world than this effulgence. But if it was more beautiful than anything in this world, why did he not sustain it? Because he couldn't, because he needed relationship. And so he again got back into philosophical speculation, and he left his mark to some extent on history. Unfortunately, that mark hasn't been very positive as far as God realization is concerned. He actually, by the way, he taught his philosophy, God could either be there or not. Of course, people chose that God shouldn't be there. Kali Yuga is like that. When we read today a little bit about the swing festival of Krishna and the gopis, we got a little glimpse of what it means to know the absolute truth, the personal feature of the absolute truth, that it's superior to an impersonal understanding. However much relief and even a sense of joy that one can experience from the Brahman effulgence, nothing can compare to the Leela of Krishna and the blissful nature of the exchanges between Krishna and his associates. And what's very wonderful about that is that everyone is welcome to come and participate in this leela. And by hearing about these leelas and performing the necessary sadhana, the activities that were being guided by the spiritual master as he represents Rupa Goswami, the whole disciplic succession, there's a whole program that's tailor-made for us so that we can purify ourselves to the point where we can properly appreciate this leela, just like we heard that if you looked at the swing where Krishna was swinging, you became so joyful, and you also became empowered to see other things in a fresh way. So our sadhana and our spiritual activities empower our vision that we can see things in an ever fresh way. It's quite amazing. Sometimes I think about that when I'm chanting my japa. Even though it is rigorous to chant japa, you can do it, and you can do it every day. And if you do it nicely every day, something special happens. You get some special realization that you reflect on during the day. You're like the water of material existence comes down to here. You can breathe, you can see things a little clearly. You have great hope. Prabhupada says you have great hope. And on top of all of that, you can enter into these wonderful pastimes. It's such a... That's why I thought the song was nice. If Lord Chaitanya hadn't come, if Prabhupada hadn't come, how would we ever even be able to conceptualize these wonderful opportunities to meditate on and ultimately enter into the pastimes of the Lord. And because we have that, even though we've come, many of us, not all of us, probably the great majority of us come from a background that's Malecha, Yavana, all kinds of, it was normal for us to grow up doing things that God has forbidden, although we thought that God had allowed them. Mint sauce. One devotee told me that when she was driving with her parents in the car and they'd see the little lambs, she'd see the little lambs and she liked them very much, but her parents would say, mint sauce. Mint sauce. You know what that means, right? You eat lamb with mint sauce. And the little girl would go, mint sauce, because she didn't know any difference. So this is how it came integrated. And even despite this conditioning, we can, by the mercy of Prabhupada and by the mercy of the Acharyas, we can somehow conceptualize this wonderful Leela and even hope and aspire that someday we can be part of maybe the bird on the tree or who knows, maybe who knows what we can do. One of the demigods looking down, getting closer so that they can see more. Who knows what we can do by the mercy of the Lord. Oh, it's getting late, eh? Okay, I just want to read one last verse that's from the Bhagavatam. That's also another favorite verse of mine. I'm not very good at learning verses, but if I like them, they stick with me a little bit. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma shayam gratitam urvratayam chishanta tadvannariktam atayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganastam aranam bhajavasudevam. Sound familiar? Puppet quotes it quite a bit. It's instructions by the four Kumaras to King Prithu. And they tell King Prithu, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Recently, we saw His Holiness Radhanath Swami on the Foxit. Did you see that on Facebook? He's appearing on national television and he's talking about the glories of Krishna consciousness and everybody's so impressed and they're advertising his book. So he's an example of someone who's very blissful and influential simply because of following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore I would like to just say that, as I mentioned previously, that if we want to qualify ourselves, we had to become very much attached to following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And there's a great amount of bliss in doing that. And then we will not only be able to conceptualize the eternal Leela of Krishna, we will become very delighted at experiencing Krishna in our daily activities. We'll be able to see Krishna in his creation, we'll be able to see Krishna in the dealings of other devotees, and we'll be able to see the dealings of Krishna in many other situations. We'll be empowered in that way. So thank you for listening patiently. If anyone would like to make a last comment or make a question, or I have maybe 5 minutes, just a
quick comment. Once when I was in Mayapur, and it was Krishna Pusha Abhishek, it's the spring festival, and they got these big baskets of flowers, flower petals. It's the first time I realized where fireworks come from. So they got these big baskets full of flower petals, and the devotees know the deities there. They have Radha Krishna deities and then 8 gopis. It's a very wide, big altar. It's quite high. So the projector, and there's a screen behind the deities. So the pujaris were standing behind us. You can see them. They were standing behind the screen and they had like flowers. It just reminded me when you were reading, and they were throwing the flower petals over the tops of the deities. So they were kind of like, but it was like fireworks going up. It was like, and one would be orange, and then one would be red, and then one would be pink. And it would like, and then flutter down, and the bases of the deities started filling up. Because they were using a lot of flowers. I mean, the deities are huge, but they were using lots of flowers. I was just standing there, and I was watching this. I've never seen anything so incredible. I mean, I can't imagine this, but it was just reminding me of this. It was beautiful. It was just an amazing thing to do. I mean, I started crying.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't believe they were doing it. Was,
yeah.
It was so nice.
Yeah.
It's a shame they couldn't do it. Well, maybe if you put the
maybe.
Yeah, so
to some extent, we can try to glimpse these pastimes by reproducing them in our little limited way. But the main thing is that if we have a purified consciousness and we're trying to please the Lord, then we can do wonderful things. That's it. Okay, shall I stop? Yes, Paul.
That verse that you read, maybe I would have intended. What was the translation of the last
verse? Shall I read it one more time? It's a beautiful word. I love this verse. It gives me hope, you know, because, you know, the waves of material desires, you can't stop them. Yeah, hello, it's like, that's my daily existence. Yet, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. This is the advice too. So let us remember this wonderful Leela today and the instructions of Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas and enliven each other to make progress. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Thank you.